From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a moment, the new movie Fruitvale Station, through the eyes of a father whose sons were there when a young black man, their friend, was shot and killed by San Francisco Transit Police at the Fruitvale Station.
But first, Attorney General Eric Holder is taking on the state of Texas. He wants a court to require the state to get permission from the federal government if it's going to make changes to its voting laws and practices. That is just one of many developments from Washington in the last 24 hours. There's also movement on student loan rates and the government's ability to collect your phone records. For more on all of it, we're joined by NPR's digital politics editor, Charlie Mattesian. And Charlie, let's start with what the attorney general said today, that if Texas wants to make any future changes to voting rights laws, they will have to be approved by a federal court first.
Yeah, it's a pretty consequential development because it's the Justice Department's first move since the Supreme Court struck down a key section of the landmark Voting Rights Act. And what it does is signal a new front in the Justice Department's battle with the states that try to impose new rules and restrictions on voting. And so in a sense, it's almost like a strategy that could update the Voting Rights Act without having had Congress act first.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens on that. But I want to ask you about a few other things, some big developments. First of all, this vote in the House on the NSA's collection of Americans' phone records, a narrow loss for opponents of this 217-205, despite all of the uproar after Edward Snowden brought some of these things to light. What happened in the House?
Well, even in defeat, this turned out to be a pretty remarkable vote. It was the first real test of congressional support for the sweeping data collection programs. And what we learned was that the issue has scrambled all the ideological fault lines that you typically find in the House. If you look down at the vote counter, you had Northeastern liberals, Southern conservatives, moderates, libertarians. It was a really eclectic and unusual coalition that joined together to strip funding for the NSA program that collects the telephone records of U.S. citizens. And so while it ultimately failed by 7 votes, a real signal was sent here about the deep unease over the scope of the data collection.
But not enough unease, it appears. I mean, it's interesting that that this vote failed despite the fact that 3/4 of Americans say these NSA programs are infringing on privacy. Only 42% think they make the country safer. That's according to the latest polling from The Washington Post and ABC News. What about that?
Well, I think that's a really important point you're making. In the end, the amendment did fail. And that's because despite all the unease and anger over what the NSA is up to, there's still a fairly solid level of public support, which you also see in the polls. And the but when you think about the arguments that were made, they were made by some pretty influential voices who were lobbying against this amendment. This was a situation where you had President Obama, you had Republican House leadership, top committee members, key national security figures, and they were all lined up in opposition. And top members of Congress were told that this program had actually stopped 54 terrorist attacks. So that's a lot to go up against.
All right. What about this bipartisan deal in the Senate last night to link interest rates on new federal student loans to market rates? This is a process that's been going on for a long time. It looks like the House is going to follow suit with what the Senate did. Tell us what this deal would do for student loans.
Right. Well, boil down to the basics. The bill ties the rates for new student loans to the government's cost of borrowing. It reinstates a market-based approach for calculating rates by tying them to the 10-year Treasury note. And equally important, I think, is that it reverses the doubling of interest rates on subsidized loans that took place on July 1st.
And a lot of people think that that is not a good idea in the long term. I've seen Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat, has criticized this, saying in the end, students are going to be paying far higher interest rates on their loans than they now do.
Right. If you look at the vote breakdown, it passed the Senate pretty easily, but there was definitely some determined resistance, largely from liberal Democrats like Senator Warren, who think that it would have the opposite effect. In other words, that it would make student debt even worse in the long run because rates are expected to rise down the road in an improving economy.
Charlie, there was something else that we haven't heard about in a long time that happened in Washington yesterday, and that is a hearing on Guantanamo Bay, the military prison there, and whether to keep it open. This is the first time in 4 years there has been a hearing in the Senate on that issue.
Right. We were reminded yesterday that roughly 12 years after the detention camp opened, it's still pretty much a lightning rod issue. And the hearing turned out to be something of a messy affair because at times it was disrupted by protesters. And I think if there were any takeaways from what happened yesterday, it's that there's still very, very sharp partisan divisions over the future of Gitmo. And there's still no agreement to the question of whether keeping this prison open makes us more secure or in the long run ends up provoking more attacks abroad.
Charlie, before we let you go, I just want to ask you one thing. The House Oversight Committee that deals with the Postal Service passed a measure that would end door-to-door delivery in a while. Not anytime soon, but in a while. Is that a done deal?
Not a done deal, but as the son of a mailman, it pains me to say we're certainly moving closer to that direction.
All right. Charlie Mattesian, NPR's digital politics editor and apparently the son of a mailman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.